WSLR News Headlines for Thursday, the 3rd of July, 2025. President Trump's administration has suddenly announced it is withholding $7 billion in school funds, $396 million of that destined for Florida. The funding, approved by Congress and signed into law by Trump himself, was expected Tuesday, but on Monday, Trump's administration announced it will be first conducting an ongoing pragmatic review of the funding, withholding the funds for an unspecified period. U.S. Senator Pat Murray exclaimed, "Local school districts can't afford to wait out lengthy court proceedings, nor can they make up the shortfall. Every day that the funding is held up is a day that school districts are forced to worry about whether they'll have to cut back or lay off teachers instead of worrying about how to make sure our kids succeed." District of Columbia Federal Judge Randolph Moss has ruled President Trump's executive order blocking asylum seekers is unlawful and has ordered the Department of Homeland Security not to enforce Trump's order. According to Judge Moss, "Nothing in the Immigration and Nationality Act or the Constitution grants the president the sweeping authority asserted in Trump's proclamation." The court's order is on hold for 14 days, allowing time for appeal. If upheld, the order will require the administration to resume processing asylum applicants. The 82-year-old Clyde Butcher is taking a stand against alligator Alcatraz. Butcher is often compared to Ansel Adams in light of his stunning black-and-white landscape photography, a lifelong passion recently winning him the National Medal of Arts. Set back by a stroke in 2017, now ambulating by wheelchair, Butcher still feels compelled to speak out. "I've been taking photos in Big Cypress and the Everglades for 40 years, and I've never seen another person. Never. Alligator Alcatraz will destroy the pristine environment." Butcher recently spoke at a demonstration that drew 1,000 people, including Miccosukee and Seminole participants, tribes once inhabiting that land. Clyde Butcher now stands as a figurehead of the resistance to alligator Alcatraz. Governor DeSantis has vetoed a bill aimed at limiting his free hand in picking Board of Governors members and trustees for public colleges and using his office to solicit political donations. The bill would disallow the sort of scandal now brewing over Medicaid funds going to DeSantis' wife's Hope Florida Foundation. This has been Rick Knowlton with your WSLR News Headlines for Thursday, July 3rd, 2025.
Welcome to The Detail. I am your host, Kathy Antunes, and you are listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. With me today is George Cruz. He's the Manatee County Commissioner. We are going to be talking about SB 180, which Governor DeSantis recently signed, which actually makes it harder for local governments to exercise decision authority after a hurricane over land use decisions. The views and opinions expressed by host guests and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers. And programming at WSLR is supported by listeners like you and by Ringling College Galleries and Exhibitions. Ringling College's 2024-25 exhibition season features art from Ringling students, alumni, faculty, and nationally recognized artists from a wide range of mediums and from diverse backgrounds. More information is available at ringlingcollege.gallery. My guest again is George Cruz, Manatee County Commissioner. George, thank you so much for making the drive all the way down to the WSLR downtown Sarasota studios. I know it's early and all that traffic, and it's your break, so thank you.
It's all good. Thanks for having me again.
And SB 180, there's so much going on in the world. This one was kind of under the radar for me personally, but back in May, the Florida League of Cities, there was a lot of concern about whether or not this bill would be signed by the governor. And you, what caught my attention was you wrote about this on Substack. We're both on Substack. And you made a note basically saying, I'm going to just read a little bit of it.
Go ahead.
If that's okay. Yeah. You wrote, and this was 6 days ago, I guess last Friday, unfortunately yesterday, without the usual photo ops and fanfare, Governor DeSantis signed the destructive SB 180 into law. What was otherwise a very solid bill to manage post-storm emergencies was hijacked as a Trojan horse to carry this terrible language pushed by a single Manatee County developer. And then you include the language and you list, and we'll go through the list of things that, you know, are going to be impacted. The bill started out as a good bill, right? I mean, it changed, as bills so often do. So how about you tell us it was good, and then what happened?
Sure. Let's kind of take a step back and give an overview of how bills work up there, because mm-hmm. it's relevant to this.
Perfect.
There's typically a bill being run as the primary bill, and then as a companion bill in the other chamber. So in this
House
case, SB 180 was mm-hmm. was in the Senate, and then there was a House companion. They're not always identical.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, there's some give and take in terms of trading some stuff, and that mm-hmm. usually comes out to amendments towards the end. But bills have titles. And the more specific the title, the more confidence you can have that that's the bill you're going to see if it gets approved.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that are very specific. But then there are some, like SB 180, that are super, super vague. In this case, it was literally called emergencies. That's
okay.
It. One word. Because any amendments have to be relevant to the title, that opened up an opportunity to put anything in there that somebody could even perceived to be relative and related to an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So while this language that I keep referring to was in the House version, it was not in the Senate version until like days before the end of session. I mean, granted, session went on forever, but the normal session.
Yeah.
And then it was included in as an amendment. So, you know, I fundamentally disagree that this language has anything to do with emergencies, other than the fact that you tied it to
hurricanes.
A hurricane, mm-hmm. which you could put anything. You could say all municipalities have to double their density for 1 year after a hurricane. Therefore, it qualifies under this emergencies bill. This is not an emergency thing. This is a development thing.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with it other than the fact you tied it to a timeline. Mm-hmm. And a sunset associated with hurricanes. But the rest of the bill is great. In fact, when we went up to Tallahassee, we went to this senator's office and thanked him for this bill. This exact bill with this exact number.
Who did
it was Nick DeSegley up in Pinellas County.
Okay. And the intention was to make it easier to rebuild, right, after a hurricane? Or
it had a lot of things. It was
emergency training.
It was, and although this section still is, a great bill. Mm-hmm. It had to do with emergency training. It had minimum items that had to be on municipality and county websites in terms of letting people know evacuation routes and shelters.
All good.
There was some counties that were playing games with the 50% FEMA rules, where instead of it just being based on that storm or a 1 year look back, which is standard, that's minimum, that's what Manatee County has, some are using 5 year look backs. If you're doing any renovations over the course of multiple hurricane seasons over a half of a decade, it would cross you over the 50%, forcing people to do additional. All of that was, it's a great bill until Section 18.
Tell people 50% FEMA rule is you are not allowed to improve your structure more than 50% of its current value unless it's up to code, right?
Correct. Then you have to increase it up to code. And that's where you start getting the elevation Floridas and mm-hmm. you start, especially out in the coastal areas, people talking about how they have to lift their houses 10, 12 feet. Mm-hmm. It becomes cost prohibitive. So they end up selling their houses to an investor who can afford it. And then they end up renting it out. So some places were doing it for 5 years, which increased the number of homes that were subjected to that rule. So that limited it down to 1 year. Lots of great language.
Okay.
Great. We literally went into his office and thanked him for it. It was a thoughtful bill.
Awesome.
And then at the last minute, this amendment came in, which in my mind has nothing to do with emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're being told otherwise. People are trying to imply, because this is word for word, Senate Bill 250. Senate Bill 250 from 2023 had the exact same, literally down to the commas language in there in Section 14 of that bill. And we've seen the implications of it. So when they put this language in 180 and say, no, it's we don't want municipalities stopping people from rebuilding their homes. Nobody's trying to stop people from rebuilding their homes.
We want them rebuilt.
We don't want blighted properties. We don't want to get people kicked out of their homes. But that's not how it's worded. It's worded for development as a whole. It's worded to stop more burdensome code changes. It's worded to stop moratoriums on development. None of those are caveated by saying for storm damage property. It's just not. And people say, well, that's the intent. Intents are great. But in Tallahassee, they literally run amendments for one word. They'll change the word may to shall. Mm-hmm. Or they'll add an extra word. Somebody. They understand words matter. A lot of the people in Tallahassee are attorneys.
In the law, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we've been subjected to Senate Bill 250 for 2 years now in Manatee County.
And what has the impact of that been?
It's been destructive in terms of doing what the people of Manatee County want and voted for, especially in the 2024 election. We proposed putting back our wetland buffers, which was a hot topic at the last election cycle.
And that's specifically tied to being flood resilient because wetlands protect against flooding. They absorb the water.
Sure, that's...
I mean, that's keeping it simple.
I agree. Both of these. I'm going to talk about two items that are currently being worked on, both of which, ironically, have a lot to do with sustainability for storms, so should be encouraged by a bill called Emergencies that have to do with resiliency to storms.
Okay, so 250 is a problem because...
Because we propose putting the wetland buffers back to 50 feet. And when we send it up to the state, which we have to do for all comprehensive plan changes, we received letters from four different departments. Technically, we received five letters. The first one said there was no problem. And then that same agency said, whoa, wait, now there's a problem. I forgot there's a problem.
Somebody called them. Huh?
So we got four letters from four different agencies, okay. from DOT, DEP, Florida Commerce, and Swift Mud. All say, nope, this language is too burdensome. It violates, it's null and void. Like, you can't even contemplate doing this because it violates the Senate Bill 250. So arguments, wait a minute, we were told the intent, the quote-unquote intent of that language was for rebuilding existing structures that were damaged in a storm. You don't want us stopping people from rebuilding their homes or their businesses. Mm-hmm. But by the very definition of what we're proposing to you for the wetlands, there's no development around there right now. This would be a non-issue if those. This is for future development and future encroachment on buffers. So if your intent is to stop people or wanting people to rebuild, nobody's ever built there. So clearly the intent that's being interpreted by the agency is not the intent being presented to the people, or maybe even in all honesty being implied by the legislature and now being overruled by non-elected bureaucrats and agencies. So maybe they should get a handle on that if that was their intent.
Okay.
And then we proposed getting rid of our policy 2.1.2.8. That was a policy put in 3-4 years ago that allows the conceptual idea of building east of our future development boundary. Mm. We're working on removing that. It's subjective, so we don't have to approve anything anyway. But people would still feel more comfortable if it was removed from the comprehensive plan so a future board can't take advantage of it. We just, shortly before recess, received our first letter because that was coming after the wetlands. We already received our first letter from a state agency on that one saying that proposal is null and void. Because, again, they said it violates Senate Bill 250.
And so you all wanted to make it clear that there wasn't going to be approved development beyond the boundary,
correct, right?
And which is already in place anyway.
Correct.
And they were telling you, no, you can't do that because it violates 250.
They're saying taking that out of our comprehensive plan would become more burdensome to a developer, even though, or a landowner, I'll be vague, more burdensome to any landowner because it would prevent them from potentially building east of life. But again, the language of policy 2128 is exclusively for future development. Therefore, it's by definition not applicable to existing properties that could have been damaged during a storm.
Okay.
So once again, you have unelected agencies interpreting a bill that the legislators who are passing the bill are implying that's not how that works. But I have proof of concept from letters on my desk. And the fact that my wetlands are not 50 feet, the fact that 2128 still exists, are proof that the language in Senate Bill 250, which is word for word verbatim identical to the language put into 180, with the exception of the triggers, when 250 was exclusive to...
We're getting very wonky,
okay,
which I appreciate.
All right.
But I think, okay, so the bottom line is there was already this Bill 250 that's being overinterpreted and overplayed by the bureaucratic departments, four of them. Coming back at you and saying you can't have your wetlands buffers restored to what they were, right? Putting them back to the 50 feet. Mm. And that was a very controversial issue, which frankly was one of the key issues that led to a total sweep of the Manatee County Commission, which was also against all this Pedicini dark money. Like, it was a sea change, and people in Tallahassee took notice that there, I would say, that there's a development, political, dark money reality here that Pedicini works for. And in Manatee County, before you all came into the 2024 commission came in to be seated, before that, there was a commission that pretty much rubber stamped changes like eliminating wetland buffers. That was just the thing that people here got upset about. So you've already got one Senate bill that's working against what the people want. And now there's SB 180, which started out good. You said you were really happy with the language. And why does it make things worse? When it got changed, when the new language came in, what was that? And, you know, for somebody who knows nothing about this, what was that and why is it a problem?
Sure. Well, we knew, well, because Senate Bill 250 has already been a problem, but at least it has a sunset date. Originally, it was October 2024. Then they came back and extended it to October 2026.
The sunset.
For Senate Bill 250.
And why, what originated 250? I'm just curious.
250 was after Hurricane Ian.
Okay, so it was like a hurricane bill, same idea.
Same idea.
Okay.
I still question Manatee County even being involved in that because it was supposed to be tied to money, which is ironic since the state always says they don't want to take money from the federal government because of strings attached, but then they try to put strings attached to Ian money. However, Manatee County didn't receive Ian money. We just got put there. And it was
didn't get hit by Ian much at all.
Manatee County.
You guys.
We did out in Miaka. But nonetheless, it was 10 counties sunsetting in about 16 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is awful, but we could wait that one out. This new one is same language, except by the way it was structured, it affects all 67 counties.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't expire until October 2027. And it threw an extra trigger in there that at any point in time, if any named hurricane hits any place, then any county or municipality, even if it's 1 foot of that county, falls within a 100-foot or 100-mile radius of it, it triggers a new 12-month process.
Yeah.
So it's a self-rejuvenating bill that could continuously, and we know hurricanes are coming every single year, so there's a good chance this could go into perpetuity where you just can't change your comprehensive plan.
Right. So let me just, for the audience, so what the language of this bill is, if a hurricane comes through a county, a municipality, within 100 feet of the track of the storm. I'm sorry.
I said it too.
Yeah. No, it's 100 miles. Right. Okay. So we're talking about a 200-mile total swath, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is this the eye of the storm or is it the outer band of the storm? If it's the outer band, you know, then maybe it's more than 200 feet if it's not the center of the track. I mean, really, that's not specified. So once you have a hurricane come through and it's retroactive, when they signed it, it goes back to August 1st of 2024. So we're talking about Debbie being, you know, that hurricane path. Milton and Helene, right? Those three major storms. anything within 100 miles of the track is now, there is a you cannot have a construction moratorium. You cannot enforce standards, any kind of heightened requirements for hurricane protection or code, right? Like, there's a way that this bill, as I'm just trying to do layman's terms.
Sure.
Right?
And the layman's terms is it's undefined and extremely broad. Like, mm-hmm. we've had arguments made against us already that increasing our impact fees qualifies as more burdensome. We've had arguments made that we're trying to make neighborhood meetings mandatory instead of suggested. So that the public have a say, and somebody's mentioned in passing, hey, that's more burdensome. They're trying to overlay this because it's so broad. And it's also, to your point, it's retroactive, which is odd for a Tallahassee bill. So part of this is OPAGA basically going through and digging through everybody's comprehensive plans and unwinding anything that anyone's done in the past
right.
12 months.
So it goes back to August 1st, but then it goes out 2 years after the event. So you're talking about, you know,
three years.
Yeah. So think about how many hurricanes there are. Is this a way to have a law in place that can effectively nullify local land use authority in perpetuity? Anytime there's a hurricane, oh, you can't say no to anything. Oh, you can't put a new rule in place. It's quite a masterful dodge for development interests around any kind of standards. That's what it looks like to me.
And it is. And that's just the broader thing. Look, all counties and municipalities want is some level of self-control and self-governance.
Well, and that's where the knowledge is, right?
Correct. You can't say that Manatee County is like Miami-Dade. Miami-Dade's like Monroe. Monroe's like Jefferson County and place, mm-hmm. and Santa Rosa up on the panel.
Yeah.
We're all unique and different. And some people have different needs for impact fees or for moratoriums or for construction. People out on the coast have a different level of hardening that's necessary and elevation mm-hmm. than somebody in inland. But
yeah.
they're overlaying this across everybody blindly. And it goes across a lot of things, obviously, that happen. I mean, we have a continuous erosion of home rule. And what's more is you're starting to see it being more forcefully enforced out of Tallahassee. I mean, you're seeing, like, in Key West, they're threatening to remove everybody down there. And I don't necessarily agree with what Key West did. They signed a bill basically stopping their police from working with ICE. It was like last week they signed it.
Oh.
Now they're being threatened to be removed from office if they don't
the commissioners,
put the letter
the
back
county
in.
Commissioners?
Well, the city.
City. Okay.
My point is, that, I mean, now yeah. you're starting to see people threatened to be removed from office over things like that. City of Deltona is dealing with this right now over in Volusia County. They just passed a moratorium, a residential moratorium.
On new building.
On new building residential, only until their impact fees get adjusted because they said they can't afford it. We had the same story.
They can't afford the infrastructure.
Correct. So they're like, look, this is just a moratorium on residential because they need commercial until they get their impact fees study done and adjusted, and then they'll put it back.
Which makes sense because if you can't afford the infrastructure, I mean, you look at the flooding issues that happened here and the fact that, you know, there was a recent press conference about how Sarasota County isn't going to do dredging for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, sprawl development doesn't generate enough tax revenue to pay for infrastructure costs. That's just a fact. So it makes sense to say, hey, wait a minute, we need to catch up here. Let's replenish the coffers before we commit to new infrastructure. Otherwise, at the end of the day, people's homes get flooded, which is what we saw. It was terrible.
Sure. So City of Deltona is working on that. They actually passed it 4-3. And now the mayor over there is refusing to sign the letter to enforce it because he said that the moratorium violates the newly passed Senate Bill 180.
Mm.
And so now there's a whole big thing over there because they're basically arguing that even a temporary moratorium with a legitimate intention would deviate from it. All these things end up in court, but then the question is, do these things even get to court, or is there just a threat of removing people from office, suspending people that to prevent people even from testing things in the court systems, because now you kind of overlay this quicker, broader threat on top of everybody to put everybody in line.
I think it's highly significant. You know, we saw the removal of the state attorney, I think Andrew Warren was his name, in Pinellas?
Hillsborough.
Or Hillsborough. Yeah. Because he voiced an opinion about whether or not he was going to enforce an abortion ban. And he was a duly elected officer, right, of the court. I mean, he was the state attorney. DeSantis removed him. Now we're looking at threats to remove commissioners, you know, city or county commissioners. And this is a big deal from a party with a philosophy. As long as I mean, we've seen it change where local government, the government closest to the people, is the one that we're supposed to leave the decisions to, right? That's a conservative point of view, not have top down, but bottom up, and not have a bunch of bureaucrats who really don't know what's going on making decisions. So when this came down the pike, George, tell me in Manatee what kind of impact this will have for you guys, for your county.
Well, again, I think we have a board that's looking at things thoughtfully. We have seven independent people on this board for the first time in a long time that are truly taking a step back and saying, what's in the best interest of Manatee County?
Yeah.
There are some people that want it to be as far to the extreme as possible, saying literally don't build anything ever anywhere.
Mm.
And then you got people on the other stream saying it's free market, everyone should build everything. Mm-hmm. Both of those assumptions are factually incorrect, and both those views are extreme and wrong. They're not thoughtful. They're not planned properly.
Yeah.
But because there is development that's necessary, mm-hmm. but development needs to
be.
We
need affordable housing.
We need lots of things.
Yeah.
We need regular housing too.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't just put the word affordable in front of everything and say that's the difference. I mean, people, one bedroom apart. I just saw a house for rent for like $6,500. Like, normal people need places to live
right.
too.
Yeah.
But there's a right way and a wrong way to build those things. I mean, you know, you can look at things that are more sustainable and environmental. You can look at smaller footprints with smaller clustered homes. You can look at more density, more height. There's things you can do, but our hands are being tied from being able to thoughtfully come up with the best practices for Manatee County.
Right.
And Manatee County is different than Sarasota. I mean, we're fairly similar, but different than other places. And so we're trying to do things that encourage developers to build where we need them to build. And as long as they're building where it's in the best interest of the community and paying what they need to pay, then I'm hopeful a smart, considerate board will allow them to do so. And it's a win-win for everybody.
Yes.
It's a win for the community because the right things are being built and paid for. It's a win for the developers because it allows them to continue operating.
Sure.
It's a win for the board because we can be more thoughtful and move things forward. Right now, with our hands being tied, it becomes an all or nothing.
Yeah.
We can either go scorched earth on everybody and say, well, if you're going to push this on us, we're going to push this on you and not let you do anything. Or we just need to stand aside and say, do whatever you want. And why are you even electing elected officials? Why do we even have? I mean, if you want to doge something,
yeah,
at this
point
just get rid of 400-plus county commissioners and thousands of city councilmen because we don't really have a say in what we're doing anyway. Now we're just glorified HOA presidents shuffling money that we get from block grants to other people without having any say in what goes on in our community.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, the whole, get rid of property taxes, that was being floated. I mean, property taxes fund all of our local government. You're basically saying get rid of police, get rid of schools, get rid of – it's insane. You know, I just look at – and I don't want to go too far in that direction.
I didn't talk to you for hours about that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we should go in that direction. Go ahead. I mean, I look at this and go, why – what would be the rationale for proposing something – so disruptive, get rid of all local government. And I think that there are partisan reasons for that, and that's what it boils down to for me. But you tell me what you think.
Sure. Again, I think we're going back to what I said about development, where both sides are on the extreme. One side wants more taxes to provide more services, and their focus is quality of life. Other people want absolutely zero taxes and say that taxation is theft. And if you're paying property taxes, it's rent on your own property and you should own it free and clear. Both are extremes. There's something in the middle.
Yeah.
Do I think we need property tax rule? 100%. I've been making this argument for years. I've proposed significantly higher homestead exemptions for seniors. Mm-hmm. I think at some point in time, you reach an age where you should be able to have your house without worry, because fixed income revenue is not increasing at the same rate as inflation is, and your property taxes are. Even if you're homestead at 3%, the reality is you move someplace, your kids move out, you're empty nester, you want to move to a small place, your tax you know, taxes start getting reassessed. So there's something in the middle.
Yeah.
But we need thoughtful people to come up with that middle. It was unfortunate because, I mean, it was $600 million worth of vetoes. Only four of them were ours. One of them was a $1 million request. I mean, a rounding error in a $100 billion budget that the legislators wanted to run a study to figure out best practices on how to adjust property taxes. And that got vetoed out. Because the decision was, we don't need to know what a study says. I don't, which probably means I don't want to know what a study says. I just want property taxes gone. Like, but that's short-sighted. You can't just get property taxes gone. And what they're trying to do is
the legislature. It's that home rule thing. I mean, that is not their job. It's the local municipality that determines property tax, and they're trying to get their hands in what I would call that cookie jar. You know, I don't quite know where they would go with it, but that's never been their provenance. It's never been where they're supposed to be.
I guess it depends on your definition of free markets. I mean, I'm a very free market person. If you move someplace and they increase your taxes, you can move someplace else.
Right.
And then people are going to move where there's lower taxes, which is going to increase that tax base, and it's going to adjust that one of the variables, which is going to increase that person's taxes and lower the other person's. That's what's happening in Chicago right now. That's what's going to happen in New York if their elections go the way they're going. There's a flight out because Chicago is going insane with taxes. So people are leaving. So their tax base is going down. So they have to increase taxes more. It's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy that Chicago is going to go bankrupt at this point because they're increasing tax. But that's a choice that they made. It's a terrible choice. So people are more thoughtful than that. People act like counties are just going to double property taxes overnight. It's not going to happen. But the reality of what they're talking about is they keep saying, we're going to adjust property taxes, but we're not going to touch school board. We're going to adjust property taxes, but we're not going to allow people to defund the police. Guess what? My school board millage and the millage that goes towards my sheriff account for 80% of your tax bill. 80% because the school board's over 50% of it alone, and the sheriff is 3.5 out of 6 of our mills. So if you're not going to touch 80% of it, then by definition, you're still charging rent to people for their property because you're still charging property taxes. It's just a little bit lower. Second, all of your cuts are going to come from that other 20%. That other 20% is paying for your lifeguard. It's paying for your sidewalks. It's paying for your libraries, your animal welfare. It's paying for your stormwater.
Yeah.
So you're going to cut all of the quality of life things out and basically turn this into a place where government is solely responsible for educating your kids and arresting criminals. Like that's going to be the whole government job.
Well, I know who would like the government not to have anything to do with land decisions. Developers. And those are the ones that are funding campaigns. So this bill, you had made reference that thanks to one Manatee County developer, the bad language came into SB 180. I'm guessing, I'm not going to ask you, that developer is likely Pat Neal, who spent many years in the legislature and then went back to his home building, family building business. And it appears to me he's quite adept at taking that knowledge of the legislature and swinging things to the benefit of his industry. And let me get specific here. There was a development that came in front of you all for Mr. Neal. There's a quote, I'm quoting from the Herald Tribune, quote, "This is not over," unquote. Developer Pat Neal could challenge denial of 440 homes in Parrish, Florida. These were homes that were proposed by Neal Communities to be built. It's called Simply Dwell. And Manatee commissioners denied a proposal to build 440 homes in Parrish, basically because these homes are being proposed to be built in a floodplain. Seems like a very good reason to me not to build all those homes. So, yeah, I mean, this whole, tying it back to property tax and who's got the interest here and who's wanting nobody to tell them no. I mean, to me, it's pretty clear who's driving this bus. And they put a lot of money, Mr. Neal, I've written an article about how much money Mr. Neal puts into campaigns at the local and state level. Is our government going to work for us, you know, or are we going to just see that being hijacked by this industry, the development industry? So you can comment on that in any way you choose.
There's very little. First off, the development you're talking about is within the 30-day appeal process. So I can't speak to it.
Oh, okay.
At all, not to mention the fact that even the concept of this is not over yet is implying something, and I really can't talk about it.
Probably a lawsuit or something like that.
Regardless of what it is, it could just be a reconsideration. There's lots of things it could be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to jump to that. I mean, we still have to go through the final period of that. So I can't speak at all about that.
Mm-hmm.
But on a broader basis, I mean, the concept was Simply Dwell. And I love Simply Dwell. I think Simply Dwell is a thoughtful development project. I think Simply Dwell is, and I've said this before, I'm not saying something people don't know. I think Simply Dwell is a unique product type that came about a couple of years ago.
What is the product type?
Simply Dwell was a product type where instead of having a broad list of things you can do in terms of modifications for homes, and it jacks up the price. Now all of a sudden, every house is $600,000 to $800,000 and unaffordable for teacher. It's a very limited. You can basically pick what color cabinet you want, and that's it. And there's only a certain number of floor plans, and they have to get put on certain lots. It's basically a product that Neal Community started independently as a separate company. That is keeping the cost of homes down in the anywhere from there's some models that in some places they're
300 to 420.
Yeah, they're super
420,000.
Something like 40-something% of the homes they sold in the broadleaf one were to people who've never owned a house before. Mm-hmm. Like 70% of them are to teachers and first responders. It's a great product, but again, it takes a board and a community to have the ability to properly structure land use rights to make sure good products like that can go in the right place for communities.
Yeah, there's flood insurance implications with what's going on. I mean, you might be able to, these are my words, you might be able to strong arm the legislature into passing a ridiculous bill. Not all of, you know, this piece of SB 180 that ties the hands of local governments. And at the end, you know, these guys might be able to leverage their campaign dollars to get exactly what they want. But those teachers and firefighters, if they're buying these homes, even at a great price, in a floodplain, and then 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, they lose everything because their home's in a floodplain, duh. It is the job of government to protect the constituents from exactly that, from not permitting foolish building in a precarious area. That those kind of decisions have driven up the cost of flood insurance in Florida. And now, you know, the National Flood Insurance Program with SB 180, what's going to be the implication for insurance rates if there are no standards because the legislature has blown the roof off of any kind of reasonable standards, and now everyone has to say yes to whatever developers want? What's that going to do to an already bloated insurance premium environment, you know? Because at the end of the day, insurance companies, they know what they have to pay on claims for houses built where there are no wetland buffers.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I don't know how to answer that because what you said it's factually correct. And again, that goes back to having proper home rule because you look at the senator who ran Senate Bill 180. He lives in Pinellas. He was impacted by the storms. He saw firsthand the implications of what happened in an epicenter of the storms up in Pinellas, mm-hmm. just like with us and you guys down in Sarasota. And he put thoughtful wording into it.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that by understanding what happened locally, meeting with his local officials and understanding best practices and moving forward. That's how government should work.
Right.
But when you just take it away from everybody else and say, you know, but you can't do this or you need to cause more problems. Like I said, like even going out, going back to property taxes a little bit. If you look at the policy 2128 that we're being prohibited from doing, not prohibited yet, but that's
boundary.
The start. That's the boundary. Mm-hmm.
Boundary new development. Yeah.
Part of my biggest argument isn't that the floodplains and stuff like that out there. The problem is I can't afford to keep building roads out there and driving and running utilities out there and building parks and libraries out there. It's extremely expensive to build further and further and further out east. The sprawl becomes expensive, and then the maintenance of that sprawl becomes expensive. Well, if you're going to work on cutting my property taxes while you're on the other hand, working to restrict people's impact fees, how are these things going to be paid for?
They're not.
I mean, where do people think this magical money comes from?
Yeah.
I can spend $8.5 million a lane mile building four-lane roads miles out east of the rest of development to get to somebody's place because they built in some agricultural enclave based upon some loophole.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm responsible because everyone out there is a
you
voter.
Mean the government is like you
sure,
as a commissioner.
Sure. I'm meaning as a commissioner.
Yeah.
We're responsible for providing this infrastructure, these utilities,
mm-hmm.
having an EMS station and a police substation, mm-hmm. and then the sheriff has to staff people out there. Where are we going to get the money for that? We're trying to be thoughtful, and if we're allowed to be thoughtful, we can lower our taxes ourselves because now all of a sudden we've created a more efficient community, but we're being prohibited. And as long as people can build out east, it's cheap. It's easy. It's flat land.
It's virgin land.
It's very easy and lazy to build out there.
Yeah.
No, it's hard is cobbling together six parcels in an infill location mm-hmm. with six sellers, then building up. That's difficult. However, that's on existing infrastructure. That's much cheaper economically for the taxpayers. That's much better environmentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But nobody's going to do that if I'm required to allow them to do what's detrimental to the community.
Yeah. So, you know, I've used this analogy before. And what you're talking about, and you and I have talked about this, is the exact kind of teaching of this incredible nonprofit group called Strong Towns.
Mm-hmm.
And they explain Charles Marone. I would love to get him back to the community to talk, to give talks. We had him here when I was with Kona. I worked to bring him here. But the bottom line is he talks about sprawl development being a Ponzi scheme. And just as you say, you know, in the beginning, there's more tax money with a new development, but to pay for all the infrastructure long term, a sprawl development out east doesn't generate enough tax revenue. It takes 80 years for a home in a gated community to generate enough tax revenue to pay for its infrastructure, which is longer than the life of the infrastructure. So by definition, you never caught up, you know? So we used to call in my old industry, you know, late adopters, dinosaurs, because, you know, physicians who didn't read and keep up and they just practiced the way they learned when they were in school. And, you know, part of the job was to kind of urge them along, right, to follow blood pressure guidelines and things like that. I just look at these folks who don't want any government oversight. They want to build the way they're used to building. As dinosaurs, they don't want to keep up with the data. They don't want to keep up with what's best for the community. They want to build the strip mall or the sprawl development that they're used to building. But all of the information out there is showing us that that isn't smart, that there are implications for flooding. There's implications for, you know, people's health and having to drive everywhere. There's first responder time implications with traffic and sprawl development. There's actual economic opportunity implications. When there was an article called Stranded by Sprawl about the Atlanta area and how people were literally, their employment opportunities were limited. because they didn't have the ability to get to the job. There wasn't a good public transportation option, and you know, the roads were just clogged and cars were expensive. Who's going to hold the developer accountable to keep up, right, with best practices? It's the local government. But Tallahassee's making it so you can't, you know. That's what Tallahassee is tying your hands so that all this great information that's out there that we know, you know, there's a better way to develop. It's true. When people, I'm not against development. I just want smart growth. I want better development. Those practices are out there. But the guys who just want to build in floodplains don't want anyone telling them that they have to do something different. That is very, I think, you know, dinosaur. Like, you have to keep current with best practices. So I don't know how we get around that, except that people have to really be aware. As hats off to Manatee County and the last election, because the people and knowledge beat money, you know. The money that was spent to put developer candidates into office didn't prevail. You know, it was the candidates that were responsive to the public that won.
It did, and that's how all elections should be done, in theory. It was still difficult because we couldn't get anybody on the other side to debate anybody. So it was more just educating the public on one side, as opposed to being able to make thoughtful decisions. I mean, right now we're in a two-party system, and it is what it is. And Manatee County and Sarasota County are both strong red, so it starts and ends in a primary. And if people think they have enough money and they can push their message out, whether it's factually correct or most likely otherwise, then they feel they can win. And once they win the primary, they don't have to even trend to a center or have any thoughtful conversation because it's over at that point in time.
Or they can instill constituents from the dais. I mean, that happened with the prior commission.
Yeah, but
it was pretty amazing.
But he lost.
He did.
So maybe you can't do that. Maybe we have reached we found the line.
That's right. But he's suing because he lost.
That's
right?
True. Calling a 15-year-old a communist pawn is the threshold we've hit. That's the line. That's the red line right there.
Oh gosh.
No, but I mean, it takes education. But it doesn't just take education locally. It takes education at the state level. It takes education at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people get into echo chambers now, and I try to keep people out of their echo chambers because I think both parties have gotten extreme and ridiculous at this point. Mm-hmm. But everyone wants to just watch their news channel and watch, you know, their Rumble. They want to watch. They want to listen to their news. They want to talk to their friends. Go to their clubs. I had mailer come out against me because I spoke to a Democrat club. I spoke about home rule. I was literally speaking about home rule, which is a nonpartisan thing.
I know, George Cruz. So you have offered to debate. Who have you offered to debate? SB 180.
Nobody. Offered. I just said if anyone wanted to debate it.
Well, that's okay.
It was broad. I mean, they're not going to, and I wouldn't expect them to, and I don't hold any fault for them. We're a different position. I absolutely
hold them because this is how they roll. I mean, but still, this is something that should be debated.
Every one of them are up for election next year, with the exception of Gruters because he terms out, and Representative Robinson because he terms out.
So they all voted for this, but they don't want to debate it. Well, it was pretty much unanimous, you know, according to the reporting.
But again, look at what's happening right now up in the House in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
People are pointing to, look at these five good things on this bill, ignore these things that are bad in this bill. You have to vote for it, or I'm going to tell everyone you voted against these good things like tax cuts over here. My point is, when you get these big, broad bills, you're going to have good stuff and bad stuff. The reason you have big, broad bills is because you're never going to get the bad stuff. I guarantee if that Section 18 in Senate Bill 180 was a standalone bill, just a bill called removing home rule rights for development from locals, it would fail dramatically.
Yes.
The ag enclaves ended up failing, and then they had to remove them.
Mm-hmm.
So this got crammed into a great bill. And so where people stood, the reality is that's just how politics works. Politics is awful, but that's still how it works. And you have to understand.
George,
and we can, I could sit here and point all day. Go ahead.
Hang on, because I might have a little more years mm-hmm. Than you do. And it wasn't always this bad, not even close to this bad. It's Citizens United. It is the money that has since 2010. It is Tallahassee. One of the home rule things that they preempted was campaign finance limits mm-hmm. in local elections. Now, instead of the city of Sarasota, you could only give $200 and you had to be a human being. Because Tallahassee preempted local control, and with Sarasota County, $200, but it could be a company. Now it's $1,000. You can be a company or a person. Why? Because that was the standard sure. at the state level. This is the reason in my why, you know, the Anthony Pettuccini's of the world who just make a business out of smearing people, and people are people. Last I saw, there weren't any perfect people running for office. Right? So you're going to have things in people's lives, and sometimes it might be fair to talk, and sometimes it's just smearing. But that, you know, that is the new dynamic that has changed everything. It has not always been this way, and politics, you know, my favorite quote from Tip O'Neill, he was talking, they got stuff done, even though they were at polar opposites. Mm-hmm. And Tip O'Neill told Reagan wanted him to do something. And Tip O'Neill said to him, listen, I can crap a pineapple, but I can't crap a cactus. So in other words, he's like, I can do something uncomfortable, but this, what you're asking is too much. Those were the conversations they had. But the money has totally bought the government. We've got to bought government. And the only thing that works to change that is what happened in Manatee County, where enough people understand, and then the money is neutralized, you know?
Sure, and I don't disagree with anything you said. I'm a big advocate, and I have been, for getting rid of Citizens United. I'm a fan of ranked choice voting. I'm a fan yeah. of anything that allows for other options, especially since I don't think the two primary parties actually represent the primary parties that they historically are supposed to represent anymore. I think they're extreme factions that have hijacked parties, and I think people need to have better choices. But unfortunately, that's how it works. And going back and then going forward,
yeah,
you know, about that bill. That bill had a lot of good things in it. That's why we started this conversation. Yeah. Great things. Mm-hmm. If you voted no for it, you are going to get mailers out saying you wanted people to pass 50% thresholds of FEMA and make the old mm-hmm. people have to sell their homes to developers, and you wanted to hide evacuation routes from citizens on websites
because yeah.
it was a good bill with one bad piece. You know, so people, I don't fault people for voting for all the other stuff. I just
right.
wish. You know, I wish that piece would not have gotten included into it. It again took a great bill and turned it into a great bill with a bad piece. And that bad piece, I think,
pretty
is extremely
piece.
Detrimental
yeah, pretty
to,
bad piece.
To us. I
yeah.
agree. But anyway, so my point is, you know, I offered if someone wanted to have a dialogue, because there was a newspaper yeah. article in the Sarasota Herald where I kind of said some of the stuff I said here,
mm-hmm.
and someone else from Tallahassee said, no, that's not what it is. It's only about rebuilding, but it's not.
You.
But it's not
mm-hmm.
that. But again, they're up for election in a different race, in a different place. They're state people. They're not going to come and debate a commissioner over something while they're in the middle of their own campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this regardless, because I know people look up these votes, that our delegates here in Manatee County and down here in Sarasota are great delegates. I mean, I've met mm-hmm. some people in other places that they have bad delegates that don't listen to their people. They don't show up at meetings with commissioners.
Yeah.
We have very, very good delegates. We're fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Senator Boyd is going to be Senate president, and he is like a real civil servant. He's a Fiona, and I know, you know, you mentioned she had something to do with the bill.
She sponsored Fiona this
has
in the House.
I get it.
Yeah.
But she has done nothing but good things for Manatee County. She's worked tirelessly on the – we were pushing for foster care changes in terms of the funding. And
but she did sponsor the Icky bill.
She did. You could not find me a president in the world from Abraham Lincoln and George Washington to – new delegates for Tallahassee today that haven't passed something I didn't like.
Sure.
I'm you can't find anyone on my dais, even people I consider my quote-unquote allies, that haven't voted away I disagree with. I can point to things I voted on and passed that I disagree with now that I thought
about
it.
Here's the thing. We can't engage in false equivalence. It's not like all this stuff is equal. Mm-hmm. This is a piece of a bill that essentially castrates county mm-hmm. commissions from actually being able to conduct proper land use decision making. It is extremely bad. And it was done at the behest of, somebody very well connected, my guess, who contributes, who's able to do these things. Or if not one person, a bunch. Somebody wanted that language in there, and somebody got it in there. And that person or people benefit from that language, not the citizens of Manatee County.
I agree, but I've made it my practice from the day I got into politics that I don't attack the person, I attack the policy. That's what I've always done, and I've done nothing but attack this policy.
Well, I'm not attacking 180.
Oh, I know you're not. I know you're not. I'm not implying you are. My point, George, is
you're great to come, and I appreciate that because you'll engage in this discussion. And be really clear, like I always say, everyone's a nice guy. And we must be able to talk about what those folks are doing that doesn't serve the common good. That's it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's open for discussion.
Right.
And that's why, to your point going back, that's why we need to get rid of the money and elections, because that would be a good conversation. And people can make their own decisions when it comes to next election cycles in terms of where their mm-hmm. importance lies and the pros and cons and the benefits that were provided versus the perceived slights that were pushed to make their own decisions. And I leave that to everyone to become informed and make those decisions themselves. And hopefully it's not being made based upon extremely expensive glossy mailers being pushed out on people.
Exactly. Which is why it's an excellent thing that you write about what's going on in local government. People can find your work on Substack, George Cruz, K-R-U-S-E, Substack. I'm sure if you Google that, your work comes up.
If you just literally go to georgecruz.com. You don't type any. GeorgeCruz.com will go to a website that has my phone number, my email address, links to every social media account I have, including Substack, all on that one site.
Yeah, and I think it's fair. Just because this thing is signed, I think people need to advocate for their well-being. They need to let their legislators know, hey, I know you voted for this. I know what's in it. And you all didn't work for us. You dropped the ball. Just accepting it and moving on is how we get here, is how we get these bad decisions. So holding their legislators' feet to the fire and saying, you really messed up here is important.
And I like to think I kind of have, and I've gotten phone calls about that. but again, people, all 67 counties, I know we're running out of time, need to remember, things get preempted against us, but we do have a disproportionate share of control, whether you think you do or not. So if people want to play games with us and keep us from doing things, just be more thoughtful about the things you do, and you can start balancing it out yourself.
Well, be specific. I know we just have a minute or two.
Sure, I'm saying we still have subjective rights about approvals of things, whether mm-hmm. they be in floodplains or otherwise. We don't have to say yes. We may be prevented from putting something into a comprehensive plan that makes it a guaranteed no, but it doesn't mean it's a guaranteed yes. Be more thoughtful about it.
Okay.
Focus on your incentives to encourage people to build where they should build, to discourage them building where they may be allowed to because of Tallahassee, but you don't want them to. Mm-hmm. There are things we can start doing. We can't just sit here and cry over bills that are passed and preemptions that are pushed on us and home rule we've lost.
Yeah.
We need to be proactive about still making sure, at the end of the day, we're still responsible for our local community, and we need to do everything we can to make sure it's being built properly and growth is being taken care of properly. So I encourage everyone to start thinking about, instead of thinking about the bad things, start looking at the good things we can do.
George Cruz, thank you so much for joining me today. And everybody, you've been listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Be sure to stay tuned for more public affairs programming here on WSLR. Make it a great day.